We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
Who is fastest? You know, Dave has to be one.
I began the naked run in 2007.
Down the Greca.
Dear God, dear Christ, I'm so fabulous to drop you.
Or Peter Rosenberg.
This is a hurtful question.
There's no wrong answer. It's fine. I'm not going to hold it against you.
I'm going to marry Don.
Are you crazy?
I'm going to marry Don.
I'm going to marry Don.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I win!
On 98.7. ESPN.
All right, DNR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Joe Douglas joining us at 9:30. Here's what I don't want. I don't want to ask questions and have you jump me like, how could you ask
that?
I know what you're going to, I know what you do to me. You want, because you're the Jets guy.
No, just don't embarrass me.
I mean, I want to ask, was trading up a realistic option? Is that okay?
No, I think that's a great question.
Did you think about moving back more than just one spot? Like, these are the things I'd like to know.
Was there ever thought last season about maybe getting a real backup quarterback? I don't think we have to do that.
Isn't that kind of dead at this point?
But
does that matter now?
No, it doesn't.
Like, that feels like it's kind of done.
It still bothers me a little bit.
But
I'm not over it, especially with Woody coming out at the end, and we need a backup. Thanks, Woody. Appreciate that now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think we asked him about Jordan Travis. Like, there's a bunch of stuff to ask him
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. There's plenty of things. Like, two running backs.
They were actively trying to get up into the second round to
But they stick up that kid in the third round. But
that was the guy they wanted.
Right.
But no one would trade up with him, and they
got him anyway.
Fortunately, yeah.
Well, good for them. Knicks tonight. Can't wait for this. Can I tell you what time the pregame starts?
Please. Yeah.
Right, so 7 o'clock right here, 98.7 ESPN. I am all juiced up for this one tonight.
You should be juiced up. It's a team you hate. You hate the coach. You hate their best player. End it. Listen to him. Oh, no, we're the better team. We're going to win the series. Okay.
Yeah, sure you are. You've won one game.
Mm-hmm.
One game. You think Mitchell Robinson, would you push Mitchell Robinson to go all in and play tonight and then get rest? Or would you say, you know what, let's try to win without him and not compromise his health?
I don't want to compromise his health.
Of course you don't want to.
I absolutely don't want to compromise his health. But if he can play, I mean... Can try it, but you saw what the adjustment that was made after Hartenstein takes 5 fouls in the third quarter, which I've never seen, I don't think ever, and then, you know, having OG and Precious defensively do what they did against Joel Embiid. I don't know how much that is just a really good mix, as you know, OG kind of on the perimeter defending him, and then
right.
What Precious was able to do, or that was just... I mean, Embiid played every minute of that second half. It was just...
What happens to Embiid in the fourth quarters? I know that the Sixers apologists will say, well, he's not healthy and he gets worn down. But, I mean, he's awful in the fourth quarters of this series.
He's been really bad.
That's inexcusable.
Yeah, that's winning time. I mean, that's really supposed to be, I mean, when your best players are able to take over games. But, I mean, probably some of it is health. I don't know what... Dude, he's dealing with a knee. I don't know if... Something happened to the knee, like he had it scoped, so I just assumed that it would be, you know, they cleaned it out and it would be good to go, but he's clearly hobbled, and then he's got the Bell's palsy that he's dealing with. So he does have a lot going on.
You know, it was amazing that he made sure that the Bell's palsy became public when he was being crucified for
being such a
dirty player.
There was something going on. There, people kept asking about his eye.
Right.
Did something happen to your eye? And then I saw one, before it even came out, they had Bell's palsy. Like, it was something where they showed where, you know, the one side of his face would kind of... Would kind of like you could see like the when you like squint your eyes
like he wouldn't have well, like, control see,
like,
of it.
Well, no, you see like when I pull my eyes up, you can see like how I kind of get the
lines across the lines. Your forehead. Yeah,
so one side would do it, but the other side wouldn't. So we're like, well, what's going on with his eye? I wonder.
And well, there was clearly something, out. And it makes sense that it's Bell's palsy. I wonder if that makes it more difficult to play basketball.
I can't imagine it helps.
Well, I'm sure it doesn't help, like, but I don't know. He's such an unlikable guy.
Yeah, I mean, fourth quarter in game 4, he had a point and a rebound.
You know what? Good. I love the fact that in the biggest moments, this guy is coming up the smallest. Love it.
Of course you'd love it, because he's going to get criticized for it.
Right. Well, he deserves it. He deserves to get crucified for it. The guy has played, and he's played well for the most part in the series, but the bigger the moment, the worse he is.
Yeah, I mean, in a tightly contested series, the biggest moments are, I mean, the fourth quarter is a big deal. And he's 3-for-18 in the fourth quarter. That's not.
That's losing basketball.
Yeah, that's not what the, you know, reigning MVP is.
They missed what? They lost 11 field goals 11. On Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you know what?
They scored 3 points in the last 5 minutes.
Close it out. Close it out. Go out
not
there
only
tonight.
Close it out. Not only close it out. Don't even let them believe early on in this game that they have a chance.
Right away. First of all, you know that the Garden is going to be on a fever pitch, right? It's going to be wild.
And vulgar is right, Raymond said. It's going to be vulgar. There's going to be a lot of FM beats tonight.
Yeah, there will. How do you feel about bringing kids to games when you know you're getting involved in that? Like, would that bother you?
I think
you're
at a point right now. It's so hard. I mean, it's hard. Because you want them to experience it. And you just have to explain to them that's not a word that we want to use.
Well, yeah, but Dad, why is it not a word that you use when everyone is using it?
It's a swear word.
Right, but everyone is using it to chant.
I understand
the sky.
That, but you stop. I mean, have you had, even if you didn't take the kids to a Knicks game where they were swearing, at some point someone's going to say, I mean, you have a kid that he's buddies with that has an older brother that swears all the time. You got to tell him, hey, you can't say this.
Just, I don't know. Be a little creative if you're the Knicks fan, no? Why does it have to be bleep Embiid?
That's their thing.
They can go at, he, oof.
Really hammer it home.
They could go after him tonight.
He deserves it.
Of course he deserves it. He's dirty.
Listen, you're going to be, I mean, you're going to act the way he acts. You got to embrace it.
If you were Andrew Gundling, I mean, Andrew Gundling is a good fan. The former K-Show producer, worked here for a long time. Really good sports fan, right? You agree with that? Gundling is a terrific sports fan.
Absolutely.
Do you think he's embarrassed? Do you think he's embarrassed that his home arena was taken over by the Knicks fans?
He's embarrassed about that, yeah.
You think he's embarrassed that that his team is coming up short in the big moment? Do you think he's embarrassed that the Knicks are grittier and guttier than his club?
Like, yeah.
You think he's embarrassed with what's happening with his club right now?
Yeah, I think that bothers you. I think you go into a series and your team loses just because they're not the better team. You can live with it. But when your team is clearly being outworked, right? Like that's a problem. That's a problem. Like, if you're, I mean, this is a team that everyone has hoped could eventually take that next step. I'm sure Andrew Gundling thinks, hey, we've been dealing with this whole, you know, the process and everything else. At some point, there's going to have to be a payoff for this thing. And then when you watch your team going up against the Knicks team that doesn't have their second best player get outworked, how do you fix that? You got to coach this one to championship. Now, I don't think that Nick Nurse is some great coach. I think he's actually being outcoached by Tibbs. But
oh, he is being outcoached by Tibbs.
I think that usually is kind of a direct reflection of your best player. And the tone that your best player sets. So right now you got a best player that, yeah, is awesome, but in the biggest moments of these games, I mean, he had 7 feet tall. He got one rebound in the fourth quarter.
1 point?
One rebound in the fourth quarter? 1 point?
No, it's inexcusable. Let's go to some of the callers. 1-800-919-3776. Marco in Brooklyn. Hi, Marco.
Hey, what's up, fellas? So I got a Knicks take and a Tibbs late in game substitution question.
All right.
But did you see the breaking news that Woj just tweeted?
No. What did he tweet?
Kevin Durant requested a trade to Minnesota.
To Minnesota?
That's a Kevin Durant joke.
Oh.
Trade to the team that beats him.
Oh.
Get it?
Oh, that's funny.
All right.
You had him all right, excited. Just so you know,
no,
you had
I wasn't
all excited.
I wasn't
you were excited.
Excited. I was perplexed.
And wondering why the Twitter that's in front of your screen right now is not, you didn't get the Woj bump.
Yeah, you grow up.
That's right. I wouldn't say I was excited.
What a mistake leaving Golden State.
I just think that he's never going to be the alpha on a team. It's just not going to happen.
Well, why not just accept
crazy
it, though?
When people compared him to LeBron.
That's what he wanted, though.
LeBron shoes.
I'm sorry.
But that's what he wanted. Remember
he's not
he said
LeBron. There's no shame in not being LeBron James.
No shame, but there's no shame in not being Michael Jordan either. But that's something that LeBron has chased the entire time, too.
All right, what else you got, Marco?
So I think the Knicks play better without Julius Randle because in the last couple postseasons, Julius Randle has not played well, and he's like a black hole when he gets the ball and no one else gets touches, and he just starts hacking up random shots. Like, if he was in playing right now, I don't think Hartenstein and Deuce and Dante and Josh Hart would be playing so well because he would just take so much of the ball.
I think there's some truth to that. I think that you're better with Randle, but other players are able to be better when he's not there. I think that's fair. I do.
Well, you get more of Josh Hart.
You would not be getting 45 minutes of Josh Hart.
No, probably not. But the rotation's going to have to change, right? Because OG's still going to play. You're still going to have Hartenstein play, Brunson. And then you have to make a decision whether or not you're going to keep, DiVincenzo in, or what you would do there. Because you need Hart. Like, Hart needs to play. Guy had 17 rebounds. Didn't make a shot, but still had 17 rebounds and had a huge impact on the game.
That's the thing about Josh Hart. Even when he doesn't play well offensively, he still does so many of the intangibles that you need him on the court.
The beauty of this series is he has. Like, up until that game, his ability to make threes, like, even with that game where he was didn't make a shot, he's still averaging almost 17 points a game in the series. So you got Brunson averaging 33, then you got Hart, their second leading scorer, averaging 17 a game.
Mm-hmm. Even without scoring last game?
I think because it was 21 before that game, now it's down to 17. And then OG had his best offensive game. The thing with having...
And his best defensive game, too, I thought.
I think people would be singing a whole different tune about this whole, is this team better without Julius Randle, if Julius Randle has actually played well in the postseason before, if he had seen it. If Julius Randle was giving you 25 and 10 in the postseason the way he did in the regular season,
yes,
and you were missing him, and you had a game where DiVincenzo was invisible offensively, or Josh Hart didn't make a shot, and you were struggling to find someone to score, you'd be like, if they're doing a good job in games 1 and 2 against Jalen, we'll give the ball we got Julius there.
Right. We have a second alpha offensive player.
Well, because you heard it. You heard it to start the season, and they've changed that, which I think was part of the reason why Josh Hart was limited in game 4, was they spent the first 2 games saying, as long as Jalen Brunson doesn't beat us, we'll take our chances with everybody else. Then all of a sudden, Josh Hart's making his threes, and they're like, whoa, maybe we got to pull this back a little bit. We've done a really good job with Jalen. He hasn't done anything. We're still not winning, and these other guys are killing us. If you have both Julius and Jalen, it's much harder to say, hey, let's focus all our energy on one guy. Because most of these teams have 2, sometimes 3.
Every team, really, has multiple
guys.
Which
makes what Jalen Brunson's doing right now
even
what he's
that
done
much
the last
more
2
impressive.
Games.
He's awesome, and you have other pieces that are good, but you don't have another.
You're all NBA guys.
You have another star.
You're all NBA guys hurt. No, you have a bunch of guys that star in their roles.
Right.
Josh Hart is great at what he does.
At what he does.
OG's doing really good at what he does when Precious stepped in the fourth quarter.
Hartenstein the same, but these are not. These are more product of the system players, it feels like, than. Like, Josh Hart was never this player.
No, but I think this is very Belichickian.
Belichickian. Yeah.
Where it's like, if you ask guys to do certain things that they are not capable of really doing, they're okay, they can do some things good, but when you tell them to focus on doing the thing that they do really well, that's all we're going to ask you to do.
Isn't that what a good coach does?
It's supposed to be.
Or a good manager does?
Well, it's supposed to be.
Put their guys in positions
it's
that they can succeed?
It's supposed to be, but I promise you, having lived through it, all these people that are supposed to be great at what they do, there's levels to it. Some are great,
yep,
and some are just...
I get it.
You can't believe they have a job.
Shooter Stanford, this could be wild. Good morning, Shooter.
Let's get ready to rumble! The greatest show on the planet, DNR, coming to you on a May 2nd. Hoorah! Let's go, boys. That's the opening for today, because I hear you guys are going to pass on me doing the opening.
Oh, is that right? That was not brought to my attention.
No one said that. You said you couldn't make it.
No, I said it would be tough to make that thing and drive my wife crazy. But, you guys are 100% in. I will be there.
Well, I can't speak for the open. That's Rick's going to have to sign off on that, and RJ's going to have to sign off on that, and Raymond as well. That's out of my purview. I don't deal with the open.
But that's Rick. That's Rick's thing. Rick's the man. Rick does it well. So I don't want to step on any toes.
I just thought it would be nice. I just thought it would be nice because we're doing a live show. We don't do many because of the time that we start. That with everyone that shows up as early as that they earlier they do, it'd be cool to give someone the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, but this is a big deal, the open. You can't just have any fool do the open. You have to hand it to someone who's more than capable to deal with it.
Yeah, I understand that. But I think, Shooter has his moments. I got a DM from Anthony.
Thank you.
Chief
Thank
would
you.
Like to do it. Like, uh-huh. There's a lot of people that want to do it.
Listen, I leave it up to you. I have complete trust in you.
How about this?
Mm-hmm.
How about maybe I do the open? And as the final, where I say, before we get to all that, and then usually I have some sound to you and kind of go after you, maybe we do, if and when the Knicks win tonight, we do a full We Are New York with the whole crowd.
Oh.
With the whole crowd to finish
but
it off.
But you say if and when the Knicks win tonight, the Knicks should hopefully not have to play on Thursday night.
Yeah, but just as a celebration.
We sing?
We sing, maybe.
All right. Shooter, would you be down for singing?
Of course, shoot her down for singing. Of course, I'm down for singing. And also, to defend myself with my kid, right? Daddy, daddy, daddy.
Yeah, that was not your greatest moment.
Well, let me explain. You guys will both be like, okay, I get it now. When your kids are asking for candy or they're asking for a phone or they're asking for daddy, 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 what do? You ignore them. You don't give it to them. You're going to raise a kid as a spoiled
brat. You don't necessarily give it to them, but you respond to their, you know, their continual daddy, daddy.
And B looks like a jerk. He throws us around. He throws his own players around. And I think we're going to win the series. Well, you're right. Okay, I probably should turn around and say, give me a sec, Jake.
Yeah.
But he's a human being.
Jake, give me a sec. I'm on the phone with the guys. I'll be with you in a moment. You treat him like he's an actual person.
I know that. It is my third kid, though. So, you know, I got to that third kid.
Right, so you don't care.
Your child needs you. Your child is desperate for your attention. The kid's going to be in therapy for the rest of his life, for God's sake.
Let's go next. I want to raise a kid with integrity, morals, as you guys know.
Yeah, no, it's clearly working out.
You just got to ignore him.
Things are going great.
Yeah, when the kid's in therapy, you can tell all the stories.
Let's be nice. Let's be nice. On to the Knicks. I think we're going to win tonight, but I'd love to see Hardenstein tonight. He's going to foul him anyway. Why doesn't he foul him hard, like really hard, or step on him, either one? I mean, all of us would love to see it. It would be awesome. The crowd would go crazy. And Embiid would probably either push him or punch him, and he'd be thrown out of the game. It'd be amazing.
I don't want to play that way, game. I don't want to play that game. I don't want to play the let's you know, go after Embiid. You know how I want to go after him? Beat him.
I know, not even beat him. I want to watch them quit. That's what I want. I want to beat them into submission tonight. I want them to quit. I want to see Joel Embiid like last year. Remember when Doc Rivers was like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure James Harden quit." Because he was hoping that I would get fired. I want to see this team quit.
I want you to take the fight for me. I'd like the final quarter to be like a coronation, like singing and dancing.
I want you to see Joel
Embiid.
It looks so dejected.
Yep.
So beaten down.
That would be nice.
That's what I want.
You want to watch the second half of that game, like Patrick Ewing when he was at the Garden a few weeks back, just smirking while eating popcorn? You want that.
I would like that. I would like that. Hate doing lawn care? See, there's that word again, hate. Use True Green. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. We all know those are some nice greens. So just imagine what they could do to your lawn. All you have to do is water and mow. And to top it all off, when you sign up for an annual plan by April 30th, get one application for free. Visit TrueGreen.com for the best lawn care at the best price. Guaranteed. Restrictions apply. RJ?
Yes, Dave.
You have 8 minutes, and I don't want you to go a second over. You understand?
I understand.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
See ya!
Bang! Touchdown! Rebound score!
The shit you missed.
All right, you've gotten everyone all nice and ready for the Knicks tonight. No Bojan. That foot contusion can keep him out. In game 5, pregame 6:30, 7 o'clock tip right here, 98.7 ESPN. And
so this follows the Michael Kay show perfectly.
Right after it.
Right after it.
And if you're looking for a little Islanders-Canes action, Isles look to stay alive in that series. You'll find that over on 10:50.
Let's go Islanders.
You're just rooting for Game 7, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I absolutely am.
Celtics beat the Miami Heat 102-88. They take a 3-1 series lead. Kristaps Porzingis leaves that game for Boston. Needs imaging on his right calf. Early indications, according to Woj, not connected to the Achilles. You know, those calf and those Achilles get a little tricky. So he needs that imaging. We'll keep you up.
But how many times have you heard, calf is not connected to the Achilles?
So Porzingis tweeted about Derek White's game, and then he said, thanks for all the well wishes. I'll be good.
We've heard that before,
right, but even
with guys.
I know, but it doesn't sound like they usually know when they do the testing before the imaging, whether or not it's an Achilles. But even a
calf strain.
Calf strain is bad.
It's not good.
I mean, it's not devastating. It's not going to end the season. It's still a problem.
It could, though. You never know how that's going to respond or if you're going to take the chances coming back from that.
By the way, the Celtics starting 5, when Derek White can just casually drop 38 in a playoff game.
They're a problem.
Not bad. Not bad. Yeah, much better look for him, too, with the fully bald. It's working out much better than past decisions. Nuggets moving on after Jamal Murray dropped 32, sank the game winner with about 3 seconds left. Series winner, in fact. Nuggets bounce LeBron and the Lakers. They win 108-106. Denver wins 4-1. They will face Minnesota in the semis. That starts on Saturday. What a series that's going to be. By the way, first time since 2010, no LeBron, no Kevin Durant, no Steph after round one in the playoffs.
That's a shame. Feels like it's kind of a changing of the guard in the NBA now, huh?
Yeah, it does feel that way. Also feels like we're getting the SGA Chet Holmgren commercial more than we want.
Yeah, the singing one.
That so might be the worst commercial I've ever seen in my life.
It's not
great. People come to the studio singing it.
Really?
Not
sing it for me, Raymond.
No.
Who does that then?
I'm not going to name
it. The Ass Man?
No.
I don't think the Ass Man's been on the air in quite some time. No, the Ass Man's a big fan of this show, though.
Might see him Thursday.
Is he coming on Thursday?
He wants to. You remember what he looks like,
right? So we don't have another Joe Leo situation?
Oh, that was tough.
He looks like the reporter from before.
Can you imagine?
The one that's engaged to Malika.
Yeah, Dave McMenamin.
Yeah.
You have to go there.
What do you mean? It's the truth.
They're both redheads.
By the way,
McMenamin redheaded, you think?
Reddish,
yeah.
I think there was a familial history of redness, yeah.
Those Thunder, they complete the sweep of the Pelicans. Thanks for coming, New Orleans. Jalen Williams, 24. Thunder beat the Pels, 97-89. Advance, they await the winner of Dallas and the LA Clippers. Hockey, Florida Panthers take care of the Lightning. Lightning had a couple goals overturned in this one. 6-1, they advance. Will play the
John
winner.
Cooper was not happy.
No, I...
But they kept overturning goals?
The second one was a tough one.
Yeah, I don't blame him for being annoyed. I don't know if they would have won, but by the way, so they advance. They'll play the winner of Boston-Toronto, of which I imagine he's going to play. I'd find this shocking. Auston Matthews still questionable with an illness, uncertain for that elimination game tonight against the Bruins. Boy, some things just never changed. Leafs, they thought they had it last year. Turned it around. Right back to first-round exits. That's too bad. Take that, Canada.
Why do you hate the whole nation, RJ?
No, I just don't think they're as nice as they're...
They're not.
I don't like the rhetoric about them, that they're so nice. I think they're us, which is fine. They're the northern
United
States.
What do you mean that they're us? You mean they're the same level of niceness that we provide?
Mm-hmm.
But you think that like on their business cards, it'll say like Canadian, we're nicer than the States?
I think they really stand on that. Like, that's their thing. Like, we're super kind up here. And yeah, certain parts, they really are.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, I bet you the whole country's nicer generally than, like, New Yorkers. We're a little more aggressive, how we get things done.
But you can be nice and be aggressive.
Yeah. I just don't think that they're...
I think RJ's questioning
the
authenticity.
They got a little Eddie Haskell in them.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You think they're kind of fraud?
Yeah, Haskell.
You think they're fraud nice?
Right.
Yep.
I wasn't going to say
it. It's like they would see you and they'd, like, bump in. Like, oh, so sorry about it, eh?
So they're the Joel Embiid of northern neighbors, is what you're saying.
Did I get you?
That
pig got in my way. You know,
oh,
like
my goodness.
Behind your back.
Didn't think it
would ask me.
Why would they call me
a fat pig? I'm not insane. I'll turn around and be like, excuse me.
I'm down 6.6 pounds.
Excuse me. I'm 214.2.
So that's the difference right there. You say it in a pickleball game, yeah. You go right at your partner, they'll wait until after the game to go at the partner.
Yeah.
I'm more of an honesty broker than the Canadians.
A couple blue lights. Yep.
Yeah. Blue lights, not a bad beverage.
I went into a moment where I lost my, you name it, I lost it.
Okay, and what did you say to him?
Can you move your fat ass up to the net, please?
It still hurts.
You hear my voice in that clip, John? Did you hear what I was battling through for you?
He doesn't seem overly
concerned. No, he didn't care. He's sitting there texting.
Dallas beats the Golden Knights. That series all square two. The Kraken have fired Dave Hextall after 3 years. He was a finalist for the Jack Adams last year. This year he needs a new job, which is unfortunate. Chiefs and Travis Kelce, new 2-year, $34 million extension. Raiders sign Ray's former wide receiver, Michael Gallup. 1-year deal worth up to $3 million.
Yeah. Antonio Pierce rang the horn yesterday at the...
Oh, really?
The Vegas game.
I think they like him on that
team.
They
really do. Bills pick up the 5th-year option on Gregory Rousseau. There is a roast coming up of one Tom Brady.
It's live on Netflix?
Yeah, Netflix into the live action business these days. So May 5th, some of your people that will be doing some roasting, Randy Moss, Julian Edelman, Drew Bledsoe, that should be good, Gronk, and some others.
Gronk will be good. Now, do you think that they write their own stuff, or you think someone provides them with material?
Combination of both.
Uh-huh.
I would like to think that they lay out some real anecdotes, and you kind of formulate them into...
And you got to figure out what the line is. Like, you know, I mean, do you, like, if you're one of his close buddies, do you go to, like, the jujitsu stuff?
I think so.
By the way,
I think everything, I mean, if you agree to be roasted, everything has to be on the table.
Mm-hmm. It's time.
Maybe somebody walks out in a jujitsu, like, gi kind of thing.
They borrow Ty's karate shoes.
Yeah, Ty's karate shoes. But then Ty would be barefoot.
Also on Netflix, Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, that July 20th, that is going to be a sanctioned fight. It's going to be 8 rounds, 2-minute rounds. and they're going to use 14-ounce gloves.
I saw Jake Paul's like the 2-1 favorite to win that fight.
Mike Tyson has not won a fight since 2003.
I just watched a video of Mike Tyson at 15 years old fighting, and then the knockout was 8 seconds.
So he will be 58 by the fight.
So you watched a video of him from 50 years ago.
It was just on my, came through my my feed. That's nice.
O's over the Yankees. You touched on it. 2-0. Gunnar Henderson, first inning shot. That stood up as the differential run. Grayson,
he's got 10 home runs already.
Yeah, so he is the youngest player in MLB history with 10 homers before May in a single season. Grayson Rodriguez still hasn't allowed a run to the Yankees over 12 career innings. Yankees left 10 men on base. Not great. Alex Verdugo on paternity leave. Cubs beat the Mets 3-1.
Opportunity leave?
Paternity leave.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's the problem with the Yankees right now. With Verdugo gone, you can't. How are you going to have success if you don't have the outfield properly?
Aaron Judge played left field, by the way.
Yeah, first time ever. Team.
Yeah, Mets lose, drop back down to 500. Kodai Senga faced hitters for the first time since he got hurt in February through 21 pitches.
Sounds like he abused them, too.
Yeah, looked pretty good, sounds like. Also, Sterling Marte is expected back tonight from the bereavement list. Carlos Correa off the IL after missing 16 games, goes 0-4. Twins beat the White Sox 3-2, and that's the bleep he missed.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Joe Douglas is with us.
Oh,
yeah. He's ready to go. Jets GM Joe Douglas. Joe, Dave Rothenberg, Rick DiPietro, 98.7 ESPN. Thanks for a few minutes this morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Good to be with you.
So we appreciate it. So a couple of things we certainly want to dive into. Firstly, Fashanu, why him over some of the other offensive linemen I had seen you guys link to in some of the mock drafts leading up to this?
Yeah, we felt it was a really good tackle group. So you saw I went off with Alt going to the Chargers and then Latham from Alabama going to Tennessee. And you know, I think for us, there were still a lot of good blockers left. But with Olu, you're just getting a highly productive left tackle. That was a priority, someone that can play left tackle. And just his pass protection, his production. Very little pressures, no sacks, like just a very sound pass protector and a very good run blocker, in our opinion. I know there's some public opinion that he wasn't a great run blocker, but he gets the job done at a high level and has gone up against a lot of good players in the Big Ten.
So, Joe, I love the pick. Dave and I went back and forth. There was a lot of reports. You guys were in love with the wide receivers. But as far as things that could derail this season in kind of an all-in season would be, you know, offensive line goes down, Tyron, whoever. You had to make sure that you have the right kind of depth. The people that don't like the move say, you did it last year with Will McDonald. Now all of a sudden you, again, first pick in the first round, decide to take someone that could be a backup. You might not see. I don't think that's going to be the case because it's 17 games. Someone's going to get hurt. But is there a chance, you said left tackle, that he sees any time at guard, or is he strictly in your mind a left tackle?
I think that's probably more of a Robert question, but I feel like tackle's what he's played his entire career in high school and college. And I think he'll get out here practice and we'll have him get in the left tackle stance, get in the right tackle stance. I mean, he's going to practice a lot of different positions here. And he's excited to get into a great room. We love the depth in the room. Unfortunately, I guess one of the silver linings about all the injuries we've had the last 2 years is that we've had a lot of young deaf players that have had to step up and start games in this league. And so all of our backups have started games. And so, he's going to add to a great room and be with two top tier veteran players and people in Tyron and Morgan.
So Joe, I heard a lot of rumblings and reports from very legitimate people that you guys attempted to move up and really wanted a wide receiver. The one I heard specifically was Roma Dunze. Is that accurate? Was that the goal to try to move up and you kind of, changed on the fly here?
Yeah, I think we were the first trade in the draft, if I'm not mistaken. So and I think everyone saw from 1 to 9, everyone decided to stick and pick. And made their choices. So there wasn't a lot of movement. I feel like guys locked into their players and made their choices. And so once we got to 10, we had an opportunity to move back one spot with the Vikings, do a deal where we were able to pick up a fourth and a fifth. And we had a pretty good thought process that they were going to be taking quarterback and not someone we were targeting. So this was an opportunity to move back one spot. And it was busy. It was busy during the leading up to that pick 10, and then even when we were on the clock at pick 11, there was a lot of action. But we felt that was the right move, just to make that one spot move, pick up the guy we want, and get a little extra draft capital.
Joe, how true? And I don't even know if you can answer this question, but I mean, every mock draft that came out had you connected to Brock Bowers. Was that ever a thought, or was it? If we can't get the wide receiver that we want, that we'll be more than happy to take an offensive lineman.
Yeah, Brock was certainly in that scenario. I mean, the draft kind of came off probably how most teams had it with the wide receivers, the tackles, and Brock, and of course the quarterbacks. So, Brock was certainly in our consideration and a player that we felt is a dynamic chess piece. You can move all over the board. We felt like for us, and I think you touched on earlier, like, okay, what are the things where things, what are the problems that could really sidetrack the team moving forward? And so it became really clear, like, we're going to get a player in Olu that is highly productive, is our type of guy, plays with our type of mentality, toughness, effort, grit, and it just was an opportunity that we couldn't pass up.
Joe Douglas with us here, 98.7 ESPN, Jets GM. So you mentioned what could sidetrack the team. We saw last year what could sidetrack the team, and that's an injury to Aaron Rodgers. So give us the latest. Where are we with him health-wise?
Aaron's doing great. He's moving around well. I mean, just having him back for the last few weeks of practice and having him run our scout team was amazing. He actually built a pretty cool rapport with some of our practice squad players, wide receivers and tight ends and running backs. So that was fun, and he had fun doing it. So it was good to see him come out when OTA start, and he's moving around great. He's flinging the ball as well as ever.
Joe, so how excited are you for Malachi? I know I was seeing some behind the scenes stuff. You seem like you guys were pretty. I think when you actually talked to him, you tried to go up and get him a couple different times. Couldn't get up into the second round to get him. End up getting him in the third. How excited are you for the Yak King?
Yeah, we were active trying to get Malachi. We started around pick 45 making calls, and so we were at 72, and that was too far back for most teams to come back to. But we couldn't be more excited about Malachi just because that DNA that we're talking about of toughness and loving the game and wired to compete, like Malachi has all of that. He plays offense with a defensive mentality. I mean, he's first of all, he's a compact, explosive athlete. He's built like a running back. His excellent feet, excellent burst, and he can separate at the top of routes. But with the ball in his hands, I mean, he's special. He has some special qualities, and one of the things we love is how he attacks defenders after the catch. And you know, he's not afraid to lower his shoulder and try to run people over, but he also has the elusiveness and the foot quickness and lateral agility to make people miss in space and create those extra yards to help the offense.
So I certainly know that you guys draft for value and need and all that, and kind of, you know, push it together and then make the final decision. Why two running backs and only one offensive lineman in this draft?
It's just how the board fell. We got together on Saturday as a group. We had the coordinators and our scouts, and you know, we have a meeting, and the guys just – we put together a group of guys that everyone's excited to add. And so, you know, we had – I think if we would have had a small group of players, you would have seen us stay with our three fourth-round picks and select. But we had a pool of players that a lot of people in the building were excited about. So we made a few trades. We were able to pick up a third-round pick in next year's draft from Detroit. And ultimately, two of those guys that we were really excited about were Braylon and Isaiah, two young backs, highly productive. I mean, prolific production in terms of yards and touchdowns. You know, I was joking. I thought I was embellishing talking to some people last night that, yeah, these guys combined have like 70 rushing touchdowns. The real number is 85. These guys that combined have 85 rushing touchdowns in their college careers. So they're big backs. They know how to finish around the goal line. They're going to be really good special teams players. They catch the ball well. And in a perfect world, they're guys that can help us close out games in four-minute situations with their size, their instincts, their toughness, their play strength, and their nose for the goal line.
Yeah, they're both big running backs. A lot of my Jets buddies are kind of in the spot where we understand Aaron's going to be here this year, hopefully a couple more years. But the plan after that, and we were hoping that you guys would take a quarterback. Jordan Travis coming off horrific injury. Just what's the plan for him? Where is he at health-wise? What did you see from him that made you want to draft him?
Yeah, the plan for him is just to plan him in a great, great quarterback room. No different than the room that Olu's going to, just high quality veterans, great people. You know, he's going to be able to watch and learn two of the best guys in the NFL, and Aaron and Tyrod. And, you know, just they're going to take him under their wings and he's going to grow. And I think what you saw from Jordan every year at Florida State was he got better and better and better, took care of the ball better and better and better. And, you know, he's a dynamic athlete, excellent feet. He can create, he can create time when he needs to, but he also can play on schedule in rhythm. He has quick eyes. He can get the ball out. He's got a quick compact delivery. He's really accurate on the slot fade. He does a lot of cool things that can help the offense extend drives. And on top of it, he's a tremendous person and leader. And just him coming here for the day, spending the day with us on the pre-draft visit, and then, you know, we had Todd and Nathaniel go down, spend time with him in his hometown as well. Like, he's a very natural leader, and you can see why his teammates gravitate towards him and play so hard for him.
Joe, I know there's always pressure. In New York, there's always pressure. But is there more on you guys this year than you've ever seen in the past? I mean, last year, there's these expectations that didn't live up to them. We know the injuries. I mean, Rodgers is certainly an advanced age in his NFL career. Do you have to accomplish certain things this year?
Yeah, of course, we understand the pressure. We know what the stakes are. We have a good team. And we had a good team last year, and a lot of unfortunate things happened, and we weren't able to get it done. But yeah, of course, we understand the pressure in front of us, and you know, we're ready, and we're going to control the controllables and try to go out and win a bunch of games this year.
Joe, what else needs to be done? I mean, we're through the draft now. There are certain things you still want to kind of accomplish here. I'm sure there are, but what are the things that you would point to as things that you want to get done here?
Yeah, I mean, we're going through the list of veterans, and we're looking we're looking for some guys, any chance we can to add, to fortify some different position groups. We're talking through that yesterday, today. If there's some guys that make sense, we don't have a we don't have a lot left in the budget to go out and spend. But if there's an if the right opportunity presents itself, I think we can add to different position rooms, and as long as it's the right type of player and person.
Jets GM Joe Douglas joins us on the show. So Joe, doing this every day for 4 hours a day, talking about you guys, talking about expectations and everything else. Dave was mentioning that, but a polarizing part of your team is Aaron Rodgers. Now I know Aaron a little bit, but I'm not in the locker room. I don't see how he interacts with players and coaches and everything else. So there's one of two things that is said, right? It's either, people are excited that Aaron's the quarterback, and then there's also the other people that kind of, Aaron's, holding this franchise hostage. He has all the say and everything else. What could you just tell people what someone like Aaron Rodgers brings to the building, to the coaching staff, and to the players with the Jets?
Yeah, I think there's a perception of Aaron from those that do not know him or have not been around him. I think earlier in the offseason, Thomas Morstead did a really cool interview talking about it. But when you get around Aaron and you spend time with him and get to know him as a person, you see how genuine he is, how authentic he is, and how good of a person he is, how he really wants to make meaningful connections with, not just his teammates, but, people in the building. He's coming up and he's spending time with ticketing people, our marketing people. He's just a really fun guy to be around. And, at the same time, all he wants to do is win. And so I've had a chance to have so many meaningful conversations with him in this year that we've worked together. I'd say this, like, he's a great teammate. I really feel that way. Like, he's extremely intelligent guy, and he really cares. He cares about people, and he cares about winning.
Do you ever wish at all he would be a little lower profile and not do some of the interviews and maybe say some of the stuff that he does, even away from the Jets facility, like vice presidency and some of the stuff he said?
Well, I mean, he's an authentic guy, and he's to each their own. Everyone lives their life the way they want to, and so I have a lot of respect for Aaron the person, and of course Aaron the player.
Well, listen, we really appreciate a few minutes. I hope you're not a stranger. We'd love to have you on as the season, gets closer, and even during season. You're always welcome in studio, on the phone, whatever. We do appreciate a few minutes this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, there you have it. That's your GM. He's a likable guy.
Well, he is, and yeah. He understands. I mean, this is kind of it.
All right, let's break. We'll come back. We'll kind of unpack where we were with him. Get to the calls, 1-800-919-3776. It'll be a brief melange, but there'll be a melange on 98.7 ESPN. All right, guys, Dave Rothberg here to tell you about my friends at Bathfitter. They converted my kid's bathtub to a shower, did a phenomenal job. Customized just as we wanted, only one expert installer. Process was easy. There's no demo. There's no mess. And Bathfitter is a high-quality, permanent solution with a full lifetime guarantee. 3+ million happy customers like me and my wife. And for a limited time, you get 0% interest or save $500 on a complete Bathfitter system. So start designing your bath today, like we did at bathfitterdesign.com, because there's only one Bathfitter.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Joe Douglas just joined us. Anything remarkable for you during that interview?
No, I don't think remarkable.
Bashanu, left tackle.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. But I would say to people, like, if you're upset that, they drafted, a player 11th overall that could end up sitting on the bench the entire season, if that happens, I like our chances.
If you're telling me that Tyron Smith is healthy all year long, I like your chances too.
I got to think too, though. I mean, he did say he's a left tackle, but he'll, we'll line up at right tackle, see what he looks like. If they think he's a better option than Morgan Moses, he'll play right tackle. Like, you're going to put your best offensive line on the field.
Right. And then he basically, you know, pawned it off on Robert Saleh said it's his ultimate decision.
Right, but I think they would have been
if
more
he's
than,
special, he's going to play.
Yeah, but they would have been thrilled to get Roma Dunze.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of sidestepped it a little bit, but he said, yeah, we explored all options.
Yeah.
And they couldn't move up.
No, and I think there's some there was probably some questions, and still probably questions, as to why you would take two running backs.
Odd.
Yeah.
But because you have a stud running back.
You have a stud. They were happy.
It's not like the cupboard was bare.
No, they were excited about Izzy, and now you brought... Now, this is, I mean, the kid, Braylon Allen, is a specimen.
Yes.
They're both big.
Well, I've watched him a lot, too. He's Wisconsin, right?
Right, so they both offer two different kinds of skill. I guess their skill sets are different than the two running backs that you already have.
Right.
I mean,
but how many do you need?
Well, but he also mentions the way to finish games.
But you don't need four running backs.
No.
You don't. I mean, three is a surplus. Four is unnecessary. But you know what? If they like them, obviously they do, and then they
It sounded like
them.
Two players that they were excited about.
All right, let's quickly go to some of the calls. Andy Bedford. Hi, Andy. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Love the show. Hate the picks. I got to say, to me, Joe Douglas is sounding more and more like Rob Saleh, a talking head who's just spreading a lot of manure. I got to tell you something. Taking two running backs reminds me of getting Dalvin Cook, who did nothing but take away plays from Breece Hall, who I love and think is going to be the best running back in the league one day. And I just have so little confidence waiting for September, hoping against hope that I'm wrong.
Well, if you don't have confidence when are you ever going to have confidence?
Right, but I also don't think that that's a fair comparison, though. I mean, Dalvin Cook and Breece are kind of similar.
Dalvin Cook was done.
He was done, but they're kind of, they're similar running backs. I think you're talking about the reason why you drafted. I don't know if you needed to draft two, but someone like, Braylon is that, at his size, do I need in short yardage situations, goal line situations?
I have no issue with one of them, whichever one you like best. Two running backs, when you already have two guys that you like and one who's a star, feels like a overkill. But, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. Raymond, you ready?
Oh, sure.
All right, let's go.
Today's three stars. Number three.
So, shout out to Al, the fraud Cowboy fan, who somehow gets Giants season tickets and he can afford it.
Look at you, got all choked up talking about it.
It's very emotional for him.
Very emotional time for me. I just wanted to throw that out there. But
number two.
That fat...
Oh, did I get you?
That pig got in my way.
My goodness.
Fake polite Canadians, and we're talking about our weight again. And
excuse me!
I'm down 6.6
pounds! Excuse me! I'm 214.2!
That Dave is getting ready for his big calendar. He wants to lotion up. He wants to...
I go on OnlyFans. You watch?
Mm-hmm.
Find me on OnlyFans.
We could all make it happen.
Number one.
Oh, it's another day. It's another nasty email.
Oxygen thief.
I mean, I don't even remember the guy's name, and I guess Dave had to be explained what an oxygen thief is.
So he basically said, if you want to change what he said, I hope you die.
You can't even grill your own burgers. I hope you die.
That's what's implied when you're an oxygen thief.
That doesn't seem nice.
You and your bunless burgers die.
Yeah, I got tweets about you're eating patties, not burgers. whatever. Whatever. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, play like a champion. It's DPH Rothenberg. And
I hope the Knicks carpe omnia tonight.
On 98.7 ESPN.
I want my son back!
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.